2 Peter 1:3, as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We can look around us and see in this past year and a half, 2 years, that things have changed for what we consider the church. The question is, can we just walk away and sit at home and be okay? I mean, is Jesus necessary for life? You know, I mean, these people that have stepped away for a moment because of what this world is going through. I mean, can they continue in this? And we have to ask ourselves: is this going to be acceptable to God? In the Old Testament, God said this would be the animal sacrifices would be a way to roll back the sins, and that's how He set it up. And so the Jews today, they don't do animal sacrifices. How are they atoning for their sins? You can go back to the garden and see that man's way doesn't do it. You can't just decide how you want to atone for the sins. God has to set that in order because it's Him we've sinned against. And so if He set up an order of the church, and if we go to Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread and prayers, these things, I mean, can we just push those aside and say that God's okay with an atonement for our sins when He's given us an appointment? And we're covenant keepers, so we understand appointments. We understand staying in covenant with God when He's given us a covenant to be around this table. How do we get by with that? So there's a lot of questions, and science has really kind of stepped up and said, you know, that we're in a dangerous spot. But when you compare what they're saying versus what they're doing, there's a lot of things that just don't make sense. And any rational thinking person can understand that. So I want to take a look at science this morning from God's perspective, from God's people's perspective. And so this statement here is in 2 Peter, that Peter says that God has given us all things that pertain to life. I mean, is that a true statement? You see, one of the things that we don't really realize is that Scripture was written before modern science could shed light on many things. Do you understand that? That means before that science understood the things that we know now, this Word was written. And so I want to show you that God has given us life, and He's shown us a lot of things. And then science comes up, in the Monday morning quarterback. You know, they tell you the things that on Sunday night when the quarterback played, what he should and shouldn't done, and it's a joke because I mean anybody can do that. And so science has come up on the rear end of God's Word here, and they're trying to tell you something that God has already explained to you. And one thing that we need to understand for sure, and I got this idea from an article that I read, and I'll be glad to transfer to send the article to anybody. It had a lot of things on there, okay, about how science understood something that God told us in His Word way back before science could ever have the modern understanding that we have now. And I didn't use them all. I just picked a couple. But I want us to see this because do you listen to science or do you obey your faith? And I want us to know that we can trust God. I want us to know that if you trust in science from what is when people look under microscopes and they see a virus that eats healthy cells, those are facts, right? But I want us to see that God understood these things way before man did, all right? So I'm just going to take a few things. There's probably about 5 or 6 that I picked out that I thought were very good, and then we'll finish up with the lesson about Jesus and about life. Is this a true statement that God gave us all things that pertain to life? Okay? So you see, science is the study of how God did anything. Science is not the proof that God doesn't exist. Science is the people, men, women, great minds trying to understand how God did what He did. And when we get done with these few points that I'm going to bring up, you're going to have a rational, reasonable place to stand to say, yeah, science, what about this? Right? I trust in science. Medicine come about because of science. I take a blood pressure pill every day. If it wasn't for that, I don't know. I might stroke out, you know. I have to have that medicine. That was come from science. But God understood all of these things, and He showed us way before. I'll show you what I mean. This is probably one of the easiest ones. Job 36, 27 through 28. For He draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Do you know back in Genesis it said that it hadn't rained yet when He was talking about man and talking about the creation? It's in Genesis 2, I think. That rain, a mist had not come up from the earth. Do you know that rain, water on the earth evaporates and goes up into the clouds, right? See, science. All right, professor. Goes up into the clouds, right? And the clouds get heavy, and they're just seething, coming around. They're like, I can't hold on to this anymore. And then just dumps out the rain, right? Back in Job, one of the oldest books of the Bible, God told us that. Science didn't know, but that rain in the beginning, that it pulled up from the earth and dropped down. It doesn't make sense, right? You would think that if rain come down from heaven, it would from the skies, it would come down from the skies. But it has to first come up from the earth. Wow. Who would have guessed? Science had it all figured out. No, God told us before science understood this thing. And I tell you why we know that is because science knows how it rains, but they can't make it rain. They know exactly how it rains. They have understood how God makes it rain. Job already told them. They could have looked in Job and saved a lot of time, right? These people back in the whenever they discovered this, when they researched and how they figured this out, I don't know. But they would have saved a lot of time if they had just read Job. And so now they know exactly how it rains. They can tell you all these different types of cloud, cumulus and puffy, and what's the other one? I'm just kidding. So anyway, it's great. They can tell you this, but they can't make it rain. God makes it rain. He asked Job in this statement right here, when he told you how it rained, okay, so that's his proof. He told you before science and man understood how it rained. Here's his proof. He told you how it rained. He told Job, he said, do you know the way to the great fountains? Can you open the foundations of the earth and fill up the seas? I'm paraphrasing a lot there, but God says He does this. There's a secret pathway that he created. He knows the way where the rain is kept. Science knows the rain is kept there. But science doesn't know how to get there, right? Only God knows the way. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. Science didn't always understand where life came from. You know, a baby makes its own blood in the womb? Science didn't always know that. Do you know that science is starting to come out, I guess within the past 20, 30 years? I don't know. I didn't do a lot of research on this one part. But they think that, yeah, it's possible and more likely probable that we did all come from the same person. They're just figuring this out. God told us this in the very first book of Genesis, the very first chapter in the Bible. He's already told us this. Humans are related by blood. And life is in the blood. Do you know as far back, and I think I have this right, as far back as the Civil War, when they did, mutilation for those poor people. You talk about men and women. Oh my gosh. They endured this. I don't know how they did. No anesthesia. They just sawed off, people screaming. I feel so bad that, how in the world? But I don't think they understood about the blood transfusions, right? That there was different types of blood and different types. This was early science. See, God has already told us that the life is in the blood and that we're all related, but we're now different. So that means we're going to have different blood. Science didn't always understand this, but God told you this from the very beginning, that our life was in the blood. And so when we look to science and we think, man, these people are really smart, and it just makes God look foolish. They don't know what they're saying. God has told us this from the very beginning. Very beginning. Ecclesiastes 1:7, it says, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. to the place from which the rivers come, they will return again. And you think, hey, you know, what does this matter with science? Do you understand that water is always changing states? From fresh to salt to rain. Science didn't always understand this. That water was always changing. They didn't understand this at one time. Ecclesiastes told us that the water that we have right now will not remain where it is. It will move somewhere else, go back up into the sky and rain down on us again in something else. Science will tell you, well, of course water is constantly changing states from frozen to thaw to all this. And they're just saying, wow, this is amazing. We understand the way the currents move and where water goes. And they're just now understanding this. And they're so happy that they understood this. And Ecclesiastes, for people, they look and says, oh, God is dumb. The idea of a rational person thinking about God, that's just dumb. And Ecclesiastes told us, I know the way the water moves. I know the pathway that it takes. And it's constantly changing. It's not staying the same. Thus is the way with the world. And science is just figuring this out. And they think they're the smart ones. I don't want to take away from these people. They are smart. That they can look under a microscope and see something that's so small and to understand the cell nucleus and protons and neurons and all this stuff. How in the world do you understand that? How are you even interested in dots, right, that move around? I'm a dot over here, and I'm a dot over here, and we're going to get together, and we're going to make a big dot. And you're like, wow, this was amazing. You're looking under a microscope, right? God already told us these things. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We read this and we think about the end times. We think about judgment coming and Jesus returning. But you know what this shows us? At one time, scientists thought that the sun revolved around the earth. Okay? It doesn't. Then you know what happened when they built these big telescopes? Just to see into a fraction of what God made. And they look out into the universe, and you know what they see? They see a star die. They see a dot that was there, and it just goes away. And they're like, that's amazing. Stars have a limited life. They die. Wow, this is amazing. Yeah. See, he's sitting back here. He knows all the answers. Heaven and earth will pass away. God told us in the day of Jesus that the constellations would not last forever. Do you think he was kidding? Do you think that Jesus was kidding when he says, when I return, the skies will roll back like a curtain? And the earth and the constellation, they'll burn with fervent heat. Science shows us that God has that ability because they've seen fires. You said it, supernova. They burned with fervent heat, and then it just dies and goes away. And science is so excited that they understand this. And Jesus told us that these things will happen way before science understood. Heavenly bodies will not last forever. And I'm talking about the moon and the stars and all those things. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. And so when we look at this, we see this and we read it and it's talking about our faith, and we see our faith as an invisible thing, right? Because we don't get a badge that we wear that says, I have faith, right? We don't get another badge that says, woo, I got my Holy Spirit badge. Right? Because we get immersed and we got the faith badge, we got the Holy Spirit badge. See, we don't see those things, right? So we read this verse and we think this is about our faith being invisible, about being inside of us. The universe is made up of invisible things. God told us from the very beginning, He says, I took what wasn't there and I made it happen. And do you know that I don't know much about Stephen Hawking, but I understand that he was trying to look for the God particle, something that made nothing possible. You understand? There was something over here, and then here we are with nothing. And God took this invisible thing, and He made it happen. Atoms, molecules, things that we can't see, things that are invisible, God used to form this world, to form all of creation. He tells you right there that by faith we understand these things. You know why we understand them by faith? Because we believe God's Word. Science is not in opposition to any of these things. Science is just now starting to understand these things. One of the greatest minds that I understand from science, maybe since Einstein and his theories, was Stephen Hawking trying to understand the origin of everything, that God particle he was looking for. And you know what? God said, you're not going to find it by looking for it. Faith does not come with observance. The kingdom of God does not come with looking. Here it is, there it is. It comes by faith. Because we believe that God took nothing and made something. And man just now is realizing that. And they're trying to find what that nothing was that started everything. And God said back here in Hebrews, by faith we understand that. Not by science, but by faith. There's two things here that are very pertinent for today. Leviticus 13, 4 through 5. Then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and if the sore appears to be as it was, the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Well, imagine that, quarantine. God said if there's a problem with our bodies, that we should not interact with anybody else. And the CDC and all these smart people, the World Health Organization and all these smart people, they just now realize that if we have a problem, that maybe we should quarantine. Yeah, see, 7 days and 7 days. You understand? Maybe somebody did and they just didn't tell us. Leviticus 11:28, whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. You carry a dead animal, you don't go home and eat without washing your hands. Do you know that science hasn't always understood bacteria grows and the dangers of not having clean bodies and clean hands? Science hasn't always understood this. And you can prove it. You can go back to the Civil War. I mean, I tried to do a little research on this. Is that they would take a saw and the guy screaming, and then once the leg was cut off, the guy over here is like, I need the saw, I need the saw. And they take the saw. They wouldn't clean it. And they would cut that other guy's leg off. And one of those guys would get septus or whatever it is, the blood disease, and they would die from it. Yeah, all those things. And here he says that if you're touching dead stuff, if you're touching and dealing in such a way like this, that you have to cleanse yourself. And everybody's so happy now that everybody, after all this time, we finally learned how to wash our hands. Happy birthday to me. Right? You sing the happy birthday song to you, or somebody tell you something else, and you do that for like 20 seconds, and then that has cleansed your hands. I'll tell you a secret about antibacterial soap, though. You don't have to have the antibacterial soap to kill the germs, because even if you take regular soap, because your body has an aggressive T cell that fights off these bad bacteria. See, smiling because you know it. So if you just wash your hands with regular soap for 20 seconds, it doesn't kill the bacteria, but you know what it does with it? Washes it away. It washes it away. And this is supposedly new evidence that science has found how to keep us safe. And this was in the law that God told Moses up on a mountain. How long ago was that? And they don't even believe in God. And God is showing them that you're trying to study the works of God. I've already told you. And if you'd listened, we'd have been much further ahead, right? Much further ahead. God already told us how to handle skin diseases. And He even told us how to handle human waste. If you go to Deuteronomy 23:13, it says, basically, if you go out into a field and you have to go to the bathroom, when you're done, cover it up. You know why? Because that stuff is dangerous. It is waste. It's toxins from your body. It's not usable for anything else. And the only reason that it fertilizes soil is because when it goes into the ground, that's where dead stuff goes. The seed dies in order. This fertilizes because it all goes back into the ground. And He already told us, if you're going to do this, cover it up. Cover it up. Way back in Leviticus, God told us how to deal with some of the things that we're going through right now. If you're sick, even 5 years ago, if you were waking up in the morning and you're coughing your head off and you can't stop blowing your nose and your eyes are water and you can't stay out of the bathroom, hey, look, man, I don't want to hold your hand, you know? We all used common sense and realized that we were sick and we did something about it. We stayed away from other people. You know, sometimes when you call into work, it's because you really are sick, right? I'm not going to be able to make it, man. There's just no way. Right? Sometimes that's the truth. You know, and sometimes you just need things today. Right? Yeah. Yeah. God already told us how to handle, and that's one of the biggest things that faces us today. Right? That's one of the biggest things that face us today. But, and these are the things, I'm telling you, these are the things that I got from the article. And there's many more, right? There's many more. If you go to Job, Job says that the center of the earth burns with fervent heat. Well, geologists understand that now. But how did Job know that the center of the earth was so hot that it burned with fire? How did they understand that? How did Job know that? He did. There's many more. So if anybody wants the article, I can give it to you. But I tried to pick out the things that seemed to make the most sense or that were easiest to understand that we could really wrap our minds and apply to. But there's four things that science agrees that we must have to sustain all life. This is my last slide. Water. Do you know why they can't confirm that there is life on Mars? They can't confirm that there's ever been water. They're trying. You read the articles, they're trying, they're saying, look at this area right here, this had to contain water, but they don't have any proof. And before they can say that there was any type of life on Mars, they have to find proof of water. Water is one of the things. Our bodies are 70%, I may be wrong, maybe 65, might be 75, I'm not going to argue with that, but our bodies are roughly 70% water. It is. You can't stop all that stuff. God said He made the world with things that are unseen. You don't think those unseen things are still around? It's just that science has come up with the microscope and they can see some of those things that are unseen, but they can't see them all because they couldn't find the God particle, right? They couldn't find the nothing that God made into something. Water. 3 days you can go without water and then your blood will turn to cement and your organs will start shutting down and you'll die. You might make it to the fourth day, but by the time that happens and you start giving the water, it might be too late. 3 days. Right. It can't absorb it because it's dried out. I mean, it's just hardened. So water's one of the things. I'll show you this. Revelation 21:6, and He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life to him who thirsts. Jesus said, "You want life? I've got that water of life." Science confirms that we have to have water. And Jesus said, "You want that water? You come to me and I will give you that water." And even though this is in Revelation, it doesn't just happen at the end. Back in John 7:38, He told us, He said, "He who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And it said, He talked about this, about the Spirit of God. Science confirms that we need water to survive. And Jesus said, "If you want that water to live," He says, "I am the one who gives that water." Breath. Some way, some form of something we need breath to survive. We need air. Even plants, man. You ever looked at a plant? I mean, it's just, and I know this, okay, it's fake, but if this was real, these things would be taking in something and expelling something, right? We can't see that, but it is. And it just looks like, you wouldn't think that this thing breathes, but it does. Three days without water, 3 minutes without air. If you go 5, 6, 7 minutes without air, it damages your mind, hemorrhages and different things. It damages your heart. 3 minutes without air, okay? 3 minutes. The only life that we understand in the universe, and I'm not talking about animals and stuff, I'm talking about higher life forms, and we're the highest life form that we understand in the universe. We're constantly looking for something else. But we as humans, we can't go to Mars or to the moon and live without oxygen. It's not there for us. So what we understand as the highest forms of life, we have to have air, breath. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God told you that until I give you the breath of life, the breath that everyone needs to live, until I give that to you, you're not alive. Science will confirm this. Without air, you're going to die. Right? And God said, I am the breath of life. If you want to live, come to me. Food. Some way or another, we have to have sustenance, because that's what powers our body to cleanse itself, to grow, to, snakes shed their skin. All of these things that happen, it takes energy. And if you've got to expel energy, you've got to replace that energy. Remember, the biggest energy that we know is the sun. Science can see the sun, or maybe the supernovas or the black hole. Okay, I'm not really sure about this, but I know the sun has got energy that if we could harvest that kind of energy, it could power our power plants and our houses for so long. You know what I mean? Even the sun's going to die out. We've already been over that. The constellations just are going to... And sun is a star like any other, and guess what we've seen happen to stars? They disappear. They burn up. They go out. Everything that exerts energy, eventually will run out of that energy. We need food. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If you want food that will sustain your life, by faith, God says that if we do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, we have no life in us. And science will tell you that is the most absurd thing that they've ever heard. And yet they will tell you that you need bread, that you need food, substance to survive. And Jesus says, I am that substance that you feed on. I am that substance. Light, some form or another, the light is, we need light. Do you know that in the wintertime, a lot of people suffer ailments? And do you know what the simple cause of a lot of those ailments are? It is. And that appears in our body as lack of vitamin D. It's lack of vitamin D. So we have to take supplements during the wintertime because we don't get out in the sun, because that's how our body converts that sun energy to things that we need. It converts it to vitamin D. If we go out in the sun in the summer, then we don't have low levels of vitamin D. But in the winter, we do. So light is necessary for life. Light is necessary for life. These four things, science will confirm that we need these things to survive. And by now, you know what I'm going to say. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but I have the light of life. I want us to look at things. Water, air, food, and light. These are the things that are necessary that science will confirm for life. We are told that God gives the water of life freely. We are told that God gave the breath of life. Nobody made Him do that. He gave that freely. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that comes down. He fed those in the wilderness for 40 years with manna. And He says, I am that bread that comes down from heaven. And Jesus said, I am the light of life. Everything says water of life, breath of life, bread of life, light of life. Science has been looking for the answer, and the answer has been Jesus. And they want to ignore it because it doesn't make sense to them. Because if you accept that Jesus is the answer, Jesus looks at you and says, okay, now what are you going to do with this knowledge? In other words, Jesus is going to require something of them. And people don't like that. They don't want any expectations. They don't want you to tell them what to do tomorrow. They want to know what they're going to do tomorrow, what they feel like doing tomorrow. You see, with everything science knows, Jesus said, I am what gives life. You can study this, but I am the one that gives life. So, let's take a simple question that science can sort of answer, but I don't know if they've really given us the great answer. Can Scripture answer which came first, the chicken or the egg? Can science answer this question? Has science given you an answer to this question? Do you know that in the egg, there is found a protein that comes from the chicken? Because they do research on everything, you know? I mean, everything. You know, why does hair turn gray? Why does hair only grow on this part of your face? And I mean, they do research on everything, you know? Why does the air stink when it comes from the east and not from the west? I don't know, you know? They do research on everything. They give money to NASCAR to do research. And so, I'm sure science has looked into this, but we have the answer. Do you know what the answer is? Scripture tells you what the answer is. Yeah, the chicken. Do you know why it's the chicken? Because God created. Yeah. And so God created the chicken in a mature state, same way with the people. And so what happened was that when you read in Genesis that God made these animals and He brought them all to God in the garden, and Adam named them. And for some reason, He looked at a chicken and said, that looks like a chicken. He said, I'll call it a chicken. It does look like a chicken, don't it? Tastes like chicken, too. But Scripture can answer this question. Science will befuddle. Science will give you hypotheses. Science will tell you, I'm really not sure. You know, I could see both sides of it. No, Scripture says that God created. I want you to know that the chicken was created. It was created just like everything else that science studies. Did you hear what I said? Everything that science studies was created by God. They are chasing their tail trying to figure out God. He's already told them. They don't want to listen. They want to find for themselves. And you know what they find out? They find out that God was right. They found out that God was right. So if science says coming around this table is dangerous and that we can't trust Jesus with our life, don't believe them. That's the God's honest truth. There's nothing that science has given us that God has not already shown us first. And if science wants to turn around now and say that we cannot trust God with our life, we need to trust them, you cannot believe that. Because God is the one that gave them something to study. There are smart people out there, man, that can see things that I don't even understand. And I've tried reading some really, really in-depth articles about science and how things work. And these words that they use and the paths they follow, I just like want to fall asleep. I just can't do it. I just can't follow that train of thought. I just can't understand it. They're so much smarter than me. But that's okay. People can be smarter than me, but they're not smarter than God. He created this world, and He gave them something to do. And so if science says that you cannot trust Jesus with your life, don't believe that. If At some point, we're going to die. I mean, is that news to anybody? At some point, we're going to die. So what matters is that God doesn't let us live forever? No, God doesn't let us live forever here. Science will tell you that this flesh is dying, that there are diseases that come on, and doctors and surgeons, they'll come to the parents and they'll say, I'm very sorry, I did everything that I could. And they say, well, what happened? And just say, I have no reason. Everything should have been working properly, but it just stopped, and I couldn't fix it. Do you understand that, man? Surgeons that cut you open, that can take your heart out and give you someone else's heart. They can cut your head, the top of your head off. They can look at your brain and know which part to cut and which part not to. People that are probably the smartest people on earth when it comes to anatomy and how a body works, and then they come to a point, they say, I don't know why he died. I don't have an answer. If we're around this table and we have faith in God and we do the things that he's asked, remember they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, these things. If we remain covenant keepers with God, then what can this life take from us? What? Is there something that science understands that we're going to lose by not trusting God? What is the point here? I trust God. Science is understanding God. But I trust God with my soul. He's already told you, we read it in one of the things, that I gave blood, life in the blood to make atonement for your soul. We can trust God with our life. When it comes down to this church or our safety, keeping this covenant or our safety, you want to remain safe without the knowledge of God? You want to remain safe without God? Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to get sick. But we can surely trust God with our life because He has shown us that we can trust Him. This is not me just saying, well, you just got to have faith, you got to have belief. I've given you real evidence to show you, not me, I've done anything. The Scripture's given you real evidence to show you that you can trust God and that science is just running as fast as they can trying to understand things that God already knows. And the reason they don't see it and they don't understand it is because it's discerned by faith. We believe that what God tells us is true. They don't. God didn't give scientists the answers. He just gave them something to do with their life. Right? And praise God that we have science. Praise God that we have people that can come up with medicines that ease headache pain. Or that when you have a broken arm or you have something ailment that you're in severe pain, that they can give you something to help numb that pain. Praise God that we have people smart enough to understand that these things are possible. Right? When you get older, I mean, remember looking in your grandmother's cabinet and or going into her bathroom or whatever, and she had all these pill bottles, right? I can send you a picture. You know, it looked like my grandmother's house. It's got 100 pill bottles in there. Why? Because when this hurts, I take this. If this hurts, I take that. And we've got hurts all the time, so we keep this stuff on hand, right? We don't want to run out to the store when we have a certain kind of hurt. We're in pain. We don't want to go nowhere. We can trust God with our life. He's shown us that He is worthy and that He created us. Don't you want Him waiting for you? I don't want to live without my Lord. I don't want to go back to the way that I was before in not having knowledge that God is there, not understanding. I don't want to go back to that way. It can be easier for a little while, but nothing lasts forever, does it? So you're going to take the easy way out just because, hey, you know, I don't mow the yard today, it's going to get worse tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah. So what do I do? Might as well just get up and mow the yard. But eventually I'm going to have to mow the yard. My wife's going to kill me, right? You can't keep putting things off. You can't say that science is going to protect you. Science is only trying to understand God, and He's given them plenty to understand. It made no sense that after 3 days, 3.5 days, that Jesus was in the ground dead, that he rose. Made no sense. Science cannot give you that answer. Cannot give you the answer. History proves that Jesus died and rose. Bible does it. Josephus' writing shows us. If the evidence given in Scripture has been examined by lawyers, and you know what lawyers will tell you? It's a winnable case. There's enough evidence in Scripture, it's a winnable case. So when Peter got up and told them that the King of Israel, the Son of God, had been killed by man, it didn't make sense to them. But yet they saw Jesus die and they saw him raise. Wow, I mean, what an amazing time. People just didn't know. They didn't have answers as to why he rose from the dead after 3.5 days. And the reason that Peter said that this happened, the apostles also told us that Jesus, God bearing witness, raised his Son from the dead so that we know we could believe the gospel that was preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost. That God has not asked us to stay at home. God has not asked us to run in terror from this world. God has not asked us even to disobey. You look at Peter, Nero was on the throne killing Christians, and he told him, "You be submissive to that government. I will deal with that government. I will deal with those people." The only time that we ever see anyone go against the king was when the king ordered us to go against God. That's the only time that you'll see that God says, that's the line you cannot cross. So when Peter stood up and told them that the one that they had killed was the one that had came to save them, it just didn't make any sense. But he told them, don't go home and knead cakes and make bread and put it on an altar. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And we can trust God that these words are true because Jesus raised from the dead. And science will never be able to explain how a dead man after 3.5 days rose and walked with the breath of life. You know why? Because God gives the breath of life. And when Jesus died and that was taken away, it was given back to him. And he even told you that. He says, no one takes my life. I give it and it will be given back to me. He even told you that was going to happen. Which other religious person has ever risen from the dead? Our faith is based on the resurrection, something that science can't explain. Our faith is not based in science. Our faith is based in God. And he is worthy. So given that knowledge that we know that God can raise from the dead, and knowing that we're going to die, and we've been given proof that that can happen, we've been given proof all this other stuff, why would you not accept this, a God that says that I will, knowing you're going to die, that he can raise you from the dead, and we have proof of all this, why would you look anywhere else? He has the answers. What's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?